You are listening to The New Day, Feel the Power. Here's one of our favorite episodes, and you can check out more from the archives on Spotify, baby.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Greatest podcast of all time, which is entitled The New Day. Feel the your ass into that one. You know, it's a real important guest.
Yes.
Baby! Yeah! Go ahead.
I am Xavier Woods, a.k.a. Austin Creed.
And I am Big E, formerly Big E Langston. Boy, you know the story on that. They snatched my last name with no regard for how I felt, how I cared. You know what I mean? So, let me stop. Let me stop.
And I am Kofi Kingston. And ladies and gentlemen, this episode has been a long time coming. When we originally talked about guests for this podcast, this man was at the top of the list. And he big leagued us. That's right. I'm just serious. He begged up big league dust for months and months and months. But nevertheless, that man is here now. He is a man who used to be my traveling partner. Yes, I bore that cross for the wrestling industry. He is a man who has never met a person that he could not mess with. He stays messing with everybody, men, women, children, pets. It doesn't matter. He don't mess with you. So he is a man who is a legend in this industry, mainly for his antics outside.
Very true.
Where is the lie? I'm not lying. This is the truth. Yes, he is a man who is an accomplished best-selling author. He is a movie star and a father and a man who I am proud to call my brother and one of my best friends in the industry. But most importantly, he is the original owner of the doo-doo moniker. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. The original doo-doo. Yes. Allow me to introduce to all of you, Swagger.
I was feeling really good. And then you had to go there. I thought, hey, maybe we'll wait a little while and then hit on that.
No.
But now that it's out of the way, we can move past.
I saw you mouthing brother. It's not, he said brother, not brother. By the way, because I know what you're trying to do. Yeah. You ain't getting the card. Right? No. He said, we'll brother. Hard, that hard ER. That was a hard ER.
We'll bring you a plate, but you can't necessarily fully come.
Brother.
I don't know what the hell that means.
You thought you meant brother.
You're going to come in as our dapper.
We are brothers of this industry, Ettore. We are brothers.
First of all, you butchered, skewered, you took a semi-truck and ran over my name, and then you hit reverse, and you backed up slowly over it. It's okay, you don't have to say it if you're going to do that to it.
You have a background in Iowa football.
Okay.
You're a legend of the sport, Ettore. I respect you. You and Titus just tearing up the football fields.
This might be the shortest podcast we ever had.
Come on, that's on y'all.
Titus.
I meant the quickest because I'm about to wrap this up.
Keep playing with me.
Just said that.
Well, thank you guys for having me on about 3 years into this. I really appreciate it, guys.
Look. Also, all right, don't do this because we already explained to you many times that our plan was to have you the week of WrestleMania, we were going to do a live in-person. We're going to have fans there. We had an, I think, a little like auditorium space. I don't know, some kind of like nightclub spot, something dope. And we were going to have you there in person.
As the star. That's,
as the star of the show.
It would have been like all the people that haven't been on, like me and Byron Saxton, Jen from catering.
First of all, Byron, exactly. What did Byron do to you?
Also, everyone that you named, we absolutely adore. So
how dare you?
What are you trying to say?
It's three on one. It's three on one.
Don't turn this around on me. Okay? Do not turn this around on me.
You agree?
Give me the dolphin noise. I don't know if you do that outside here, but give me that. This is bull.
You're going to have the editing team working real hard on this one.
This one's not dropping until next March.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, thanks again for having me. It's fun. It's a good time.
Mm-hmm. We really brought you here to ask why you slighted us. Why did you slight us at WrestleMania?
We're trying to get you booked.
We wanted you to be a part of our entrance at WrestleMania. We said, Hornswoggle is our brother. Dylan is our brother. Brother. You heard it? Brother. Brother. We rode in vans together. We had so many conversations from show to show. And we said, hey, he's not here. We would love for him to be a part of our WrestleMania experience.
No.
You turned us down. You spat in our face.
No. Why? It was, hey, we know one.
Oh, no.
I don't use that word. First of all, I don't use that word, by the way.
Hey, I'm giving you the card. I'm making you a plate, Ettore. I'm making you a plate. You can eat with us.
Don't follow him.
First of all, stop saying my government name. It's so ugly. It's just disgusting. It's like you're coming up with flame. It pains me so much. Please stop. Please.
Do you hate it as much when anyone else says it?
You butcher it. Most people butcher my name, but you take it to another level.
You're Ettore.
The accent.
It's closer. You're getting closer.
I, being the star of Leprechaun Origins, the star of Muppets Most Wanted, number one Amazon pre-selling author of this year, last year.
You're going to give you creative control now. Do what you want.
Creative control.
Drop the card up first. Not going to add more work to the team. Made me really angry there. Creative control, my ass.
Big leaguers. We needed you, man.
We needed in our time of need.
I couldn't believe it. I could.
That's why we lost.
He's like, no, I'm not. That's why we lost. He said, no, I'm not coming. I said, what? It's WrestleMania. You're not gonna be part of our entrance.
I needed the low padded a little more. Let's be honest here. Also, I enjoy every year at Mania watching WrestleMania with my son. Every year I do it. So now if you guys wanted to take me away from my child, I mean, I can see that. I can understand that. You don't like families. I can understand that. Woods has beautiful children. Kofi, beautiful children. A house.
You could have brought your son. He could have seen you one more time at WrestleMania.
You one more time. We got him, man.
Oh, so I'm done now? I'm done? No.
Well, you have a certain reputation. You have a certain reputation.
Any dreams of me ever appearing at WrestleMania are just from this point forward. Because I wasn't a pancake.
Well, you burned a lot of bridges.
A lot of bridges.
The last like decade plus, you burned a lot of bridges. Yeah, let's be honest.
You would have been less of a pancake and more of a hotcake.
Yeah, you'd have had the best outfit. You know, we had a personal seamstress. You know, your outfit would have been better than everybody's, man. Just gonna be Justin. You think we would just have you as just another pancake? No.
And then I was told, and then you guys tell me like 2 weeks after that too, you were gonna be king cake, a crown, and it was Mardi Gras.
Yeah, Mardi Gras,
yeah.
King cake.
Right. You know how over the king cake is in that part of the country?
Cake. That's a naked baby inside of a cake. You were going to be a naked baby?
You know how many times I've seen you naked?
That's what I was going to say. Everybody's all making pictures. Okay. Everybody's seen you naked.
I feel like out of everyone in the locker room, Ettore may be the only one without one.
First of all,
I feel like he truly is the only one without one because he didn't see that side of me as much as others.
The backside.
Bro.
Yeah. You didn't see the backside.
I've seen it, unfortunately, but I'm definitely not trying to keep a picture of your naked ass in my phone. That's beyond problematic. I got a lot of issues with that. Let's not get into that.
You let your iCloud get out there? What are you worried about my naked ass in there?
I don't trust the iCloud, by the way. So don't worry about all that. Don't worry about all that. Let's shift gears. I'm tired of you already.
This will be top three angriest podcasts.
It's just started too.
For everyone who's listening, the relationship between Dylan and E is one of the most beautiful relationships that I've
seen. Every
time you know you're a liar. You know you're a liar.
He starts it every time he picks on me. He bullies me. He beats me up. He starts it.
That's a lie.
Not like this.
Why don't we go?
Are we air it out?
No. Let's save that for later. Let me put you over first. Let me put you over first.
You're never going to have another WrestleMania moment. Let me put you over now, though.
That's not what I meant, man.
I'm
saying life is short. You never know when it's going to be over. Don't do the thing. I'm saying life is short. That's the song.
I mean, just like the book that I... Number one pre-order of 2019.
That's life is short and so am I.
Turn it around.
What a transition.
Anyway, I wanted to talk about, legitimately, one of my favorite matches of all time, WLC.
100%. WLC, man. WLC. Incredible. It's your best work.
Like, I expected it would be funny and entertaining, but it so far exceeded all my expectations. And then recently I was thinking, maybe I've overblown this in my mind. So I rewatched it, and it was even better than I remembered.
It holds up.
Maybe I thought he was pretty good, and he sucked. That's essentially...
I'm just saying, everyone, all the little details. So can you please give the peoples some insight into constructing this glorious match?
When Torito came in, Kofi, I was riding with you and our friend Kurt Hawkins. And
Team Dad.
We finally let him in. But Hawkins was also at... He was at developmental when Torito got hired. And I heard that he might get hired when we were in Mexico for the TVs that time. And he got hired and I was just distraught. I was beyond depressed. This was like, and it was also like fattest Dylan ever, 178 pound Dylan, just eating, dipping bread in ranch dressing and catering. This is my life. That's real funny. Yes. You ever dip bread in ranch? It's awesome.
I'm sure it is. But, you know, a lot of people too at like catering, they're trying to like eat clean in case anyone notices. But you don't have a care in the world. You eat whatever you want.
I wasn't being used on TV. I didn't give a damn. I would have the cookie, everything. So Torito gets hired and I am just depressed. He gets called up to the TV when I'm not being used on TV, even more depressed. And now I'm like pitching to work him, obviously, because I would think that would make sense. Just let him wrestle. You'd think that would be the out. You know, everyone's expecting that. Okay. Finally, I get told by talent relations that they are worried about my weight. I go on a crazy diet and I end up losing 25 pounds. They only asked me like, hey, can you lose like 10 to 15? I said, oh, screw it. I'm going to go all the way. And in that, I was working out I found a local ring in a training school, just started doing that every week. So I knew I could do it. Then Road Dogg called me one week and says, all right, you're getting your wish. It's you and Torito this week because Heath is in, he was in Saudi Arabia or something. He was on tour. So they couldn't do the usual six man 3MB versus Matadors and Torito. And he goes, you're going to be with 3MB tonight. I said, perfect. What do I wear? He was the seamstress and they were making a pair of Heath's pants, almost done. They go, hey, we need you to make a pair of 3MB pants for Dylan tonight. Need to be done for TV. She goes, I can't do that, but I could chop off Heath's pants. Again, Heath has no realization of this until Drew sends him a picture of me wearing his pants. And now we're going at it. They also want to test me in the ring because I am not a wrestler, I guess, at that point. And I remember everyone all the guys that were at TV that day were like surrounding the ring because they knew what Torito could do. I knew what Torito could do. And then they're like, oh yeah, Fat Dylan's going to get in there and get blown up. But then I remember specifically like working out with Torito before the show and seeing Kofi and Dolph in the corner of the barricade. And like, everyone's kind of blown away because I'm doing okay with him. And them two are just kind of like nodding their heads and smiling because I had people that kind of believed in me and didn't want me to fail. And it was a good moment. Like it was a really, that's friends. Those, him and Dolph that day, like it really proved our friendship a lot. So then we get to WLC and we are told that essentially it needs to be gimmicky. It needs to be haha, but essentially do whatever. And we did. And our goal that night was to literally blow people away because we knew we were going to be in New Jersey where they're one of the toughest crowds, like Chicago, where they just want to see wrestling and that kind of stuff. And we just kind of surprised everyone, I think. And that's what I think made it even better is because people were expecting a lot of ass fighting and ref spots. And we beat the hell out of her. At one point, Drew does a flip over the ropes to the outside through a table.
Insane.
For no reason. Literally for no reason. I remember before the show, he's like, I think I'm going to flip through a table. And we all kind of look at him like, why? And he goes, I don't know. He goes, I don't know.
Yeah.
And it was that moment where it was like, everyone had that mindset of, kind of screw it. Let's just blow them away. I'll never do anything better. I'll never, ever do anything better. So it was a really, really special night for me.
Yeah, man. And you know, like you said, we were like riding together. So there, all the interaction leading up to this and, you know, you trying so desperately to get onto television, you know, and at the same time, like you being at a point where like you were still embraced by the fans, like, why isn't he out there? You know what I mean? So to finally see you get that opportunity and then to like watch you kill, like I remember what you were talking about too, when you and Torito were messing around and everybody was outside the ring. And, you know, it's a weird, the industry can be kind of weird, you know, like,
why would you want one of your friends to fail?
People to fail, right?
Yeah. Everyone's surrounding the ring thinking, how am I going to keep up? And I shouldn't have, but we ended up working out well and kind of shoving it up
you
their asses.
Come on, man. Of course you should have, because you know, you've been doing this for a long time. You know what I'm saying? And like, people see you in the ring as, you know, happy-go-lucky Hornswoggle. Oh, he's running around. Oh, somebody got their ass bit. Oh, that's the extent of your talent. And no, yeah. Dude, like it's so much more, you know? So to see that happen and to see, you know, just like you out there, like getting it and everybody at the ring, you know, everyone's impressed. And it was like, not that you do everything to like, to prove people wrong, but you know, those guys, you know what I'm saying?
Like, that's exactly my mindset. My mindset that day of screw you. I'm going to show you that I can do this. And then you'll have egg on your face. And then afterwards, it's always like, yeah, we knew you could.
Nah, get your ass out of here. Yeah, man. And then even like, you know, and then especially with like the WLC match, like he was saying, like that match, it's so good, man. Like so good. And not just
I never got a standing ovation in Gorilla. Ever. And that's like the only time that's like the coolest feeling ever. Like when you finally get everyone clapping for you, standing up, including the boss, like, and you just go over and he gives you the double thumbs.
Right.
And instead of the finger, like calling you over, which is like the dreaded broken finger calling you over is the worst thing, especially like he'll do that and he'll keep the headset on and you have to wait now. And there's always like a producer in between you guys. So it's even more awkward because don't want to really talk to the producer right there because then Vince isn't going to be able to talk. Like it's always the weirdest thing when you get in trouble in Gorilla.
What a match.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much.
Honestly, like he said, one of the best matches ever.
Yeah. And I said that in an interview that match was the best on the show. And some people didn't enjoy that.
Yeah. Where was the lie?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was one of those things where I felt it. I'm not going to lie and say, it was second. No, right. It was the best thing on the whole show.
And you guys were early. You guys were early on the show too, right?
Pre-show.
I was going to say you were pre-show.
It was pre-show.
Yeah. Pre-show for that. Bro. And the next one where it was mask for his hair and we killed it again. We were on the pre-show.
Right. Fools.
And because the pre-show always had that weird commercial break too.
Right.
But there's like this big ladder spot that we do in the WLC match and it's during the commercial break because we didn't know that there was a commercial break in a pre-show match because I wouldn't ever think that. I guess I would think they would keep the commercials tour before or after.
Yeah.
But that's that. We did it.
It's that thing of having that chip on your shoulder, like knowing you've worked hard to get to where you are, and then realizing, yeah, you've got your couple of friends who are there and they're back behind you, but then that like 80% is like, nah, he can't do this.
Yeah,
and then,
exactly.
And then knocking it out of the park, like that's got it. It's an incredible feeling.
Yeah, and I feel like, and then turning it onto you guys, I feel like in the beginning of the New Day stuff, obviously we've heard on the podcast how you guys were almost laughed at and almost like, this isn't going to work kind of stuff. And then essentially it works. Then it's everyone's now fans of you, of course, because it's working and it's getting over and it's everyone's having fun with it. I knew you guys could do it the whole time.
Nah,
you
right. Did.
But again, Kofi, you brought the point, like you would think in this industry, we would all want each other to do really well because it's just all of us making money. If the company makes money, we all make money. And so if something gets over, it's going to help everything out. Why would you want someone to fail? I
very strange.
I don't understand it. I don't understand it. It is what it is, but it was one of those good nights.
Now you talked about, you know, being in front of a particular crowd and you were talking about New Jersey, being in front of New Jersey.
So Kofi, whenever Kofi starts, you guys know this. Whenever Kofi starts on a tangent, you always know it's never going to end like positively.
Sir.
He's always going to turn it around somehow. He's always going to turn it around somehow. And I was thinking when Dan messaged me about, is there anything you want to talk about? I said the thing I'm assuming we'll talk about last, we'll get the truth out about. I was like, I wonder if we'll hit on it.
Come on, man.
I should have known.
And the whole world should have known about possibly, in my opinion, and my opinion holds a lot of weight. So
there's nothing, there's no one thing that fires me up more that you do than this.
Bruh.
Nothing.
This was the greatest character to never see the light of day, possibly in the history of the industry. Now, you guys all probably remember a time where we had a Raw general manager and it was a big who, you know, who is it? Who is it supposed to be? And it was finally supposed to be revealed. I think, and I just realized this yesterday, I was told that it ended up being you, but it was supposed to be you several months before that, probably like 8-9 months before that. And was it, how was it eight? Was it?
No, it was supposed to be that night.
Oh, it was supposed to be that night? That's what it was supposed to be? Yeah. So even worse. Come on. So the person that it was supposed to be was you, Swoggle, but you were supposed to have this.
And we can leave it at that. I mean, we can leave it at that.
Oh, no, we got the people that don't know. The people that don't know. You know,
it's this is the good part. This is the good part.
It was supposed to be you as Big Nick from Jersey. And you're supposed to come out and say, yeah, I'm the Raw general manager. It's me, Big Nick from Jersey. All you stupid parents and your stupid kids buying all my merch. My merchandise, y'all fell for it. And you were supposed to be this big jerk from Jersey. And now I'm living in a luxury apartment in New Jersey. So I'm swimming in the dough.
There's the cherry on top.
And bro, it was gold. It was gold, man. And you like going through it, you're just like,
I'm Big Nick from Jersey and I'm swimming in the dough.
So, you know, the trigger never ended up being pulled. But if, my God, if you would have just committed, Swoggle, if you would have just committed, you'd be Big Nick right now swimming in the dough. And the world would have gotten to see one of the greatest characters. I feel like all the, you know, the big mystery behind the Raw general manager, it would have all been worth it. It would have all been worth it. Having to listen to the, oh, and Michael Cole reading off all like this throughout the whole show. People hated it. But it would have been worth it if the payoff could have been Big Nick from Jersey. Why did you rob us of that moment, Swoggle? Why? Why did you not give us what we deserved? Why, Swoggle?
When you say the word M-O-I-C-H, It makes me so mad.
The merchandise. Real scummy. Just real scummy. You know, you'd have been out there in an oversized suit. You know what I mean? Hair slicked all the way back. Just really like a real scumbag, you know? And you got it. You got one over. And all the kids would have been like, oh, my God. Oh, but I thought he lived under the ring. No, you lived in a luxury apartment. It's Jersey. You didn't live under the ring, you know? You moved on up.
So they tell me this. They call me the Saturday before Raw. And they say, hey, you're revealed. You're going to be revealed Monday as the anonymous general manager. Great. They say, can you do a Jersey accent? And I proceed to say, I don't think so. I don't know. I can try. The only thing I could think of for a Jersey accent was the baby on Roger Rabbit. Because he had that weird like mafia thing. So I just kept watching that scene over and over on my phone.
What?
I don't know.
Things? Why? You have the internet. Bro, can just watch whatever you want.
This was in the middle of Jersey Shore, right? Like that was pretty, that was hot right about that time. You couldn't throw
on that situation or like character. I was trying to develop this character, Kofi. I'm an actor. I was trying to develop this character.
This is exactly how you were cutting the promo in this exact voice. And this is, I'm Big Nick. I'm Big Nick from Jersey.
Oh,
this
I'm
is
sorry.
Exactly. This is exactly.
When I have my two best friends, supposedly you and Hawkins, in the crowd, in the seats, and I can hear you laughing, and I'm in the ring, and then they cut the mics, and you guys both, no, leave the mics on, leave them on. Because you want to hear me fail. There.
No. Me and Hawkins were there to have you succeed, to witness the seed that was being planted, that was going to blossom into this beautiful garden, the fruits of the labor, you know? People were going to suck on the nectar from the fruit, okay? The fine nectar from the gods, okay?
Didn't really know where
to get ripe.
Come on, man. You would have given the world. You would have given the world just something special.
I was very. It failed so much in rehearsals that I just kept trying backstage, and then finally the writer Nick, I forget what his last name even was, but that was my name on the show, was just pulled off from the writer. He finally comes up to me. He goes, "Not happening. You're just gonna come out from the ring. Lawler's gonna say, hey, it was you, and you're gonna bite him in the ass or something."
Congratulations.
Of course. That was and that was it. That was the big reveal for the anonymous general manager.
You're talking about here.
I wouldn't have had to be a pancake.
No. I mean, you weren't anyway.
You would have owned all the pancakes. You'd have come out with your little cigar in your mouth, you know what I'm saying? Like tucking on your lapels and all the pancakes running out. And you just, I own this. You know what I'm saying? That's you. We're talking about, I'll never top the WLC match. I'll never have anything better. You could have had something better, Swoggle. You could have had something even better than WLC, the legacy of Big Nick from Jersey, and you took it away from us, man.
I like that Kofi used to be such a nice guy, just a nice person. And now when he cusses, it really makes me smile because he's like the slight bitterness of Kofi comes out, and like the adult Kofi. And when he drops a hard cuss, it makes me real happy.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't happen a lot, but when it happens, it's a good thing.
Only when we talk about serious stuff.
I'm sorry that I let you down and no one else. But I'm sorry that I let you down and that it didn't happen, because I know that was your dream scenario. I let you, and you're the only one I let down.
Can I tell you something though? It's not too late. It is never too late.
I'm not gonna wear a Jersey accent, Kofi. I will never watch Roger Rabbit again, ever. If I see that scene with the baby, nope.
Moich. Swimming in the dough.
That line right there, swimming in the dough, sticks with, like, has stuck with me too. I can't get away from it. I can't, because of you.
Same. Kofi said that line so many times. And honestly, the first time I heard the story, I was pretty sure he was making it up, because it's so, it's so absurd. I was like, okay, this is something that was fun to him, that this character
You didn't know about this?
I heard him say it. I just didn't believe him because it's ridiculous. But now it's been verified. I don't know if I believed it until now.
The best thing about it is the how angry he gets.
He's the whole time. It's so ridiculous.
But it's every time Kofi tells the story, Swaggo's just as mad and Kofi's just as happy to tell it.
Yes. Yes. This is real. They cut the mics because it was such and no. Them two were so mad that they cut the mics. And finally, it was the worst, one of the worst days of my life. And then Mae Young birthed me. New Year's baby. That'll be really, really cute and fun.
Look, you've gotten some good things too. A member of DX. Mm-hmm. Where's your Hall of Fame
That's
induction?
What I'm talking about.
Where were you? Let's talk about it.
I was home. I was home that night. Wasn't invited to the Hall of Fame that day. That, the last cruiserweight champion before they brought the purple belt back, like, been a lot of awesome things. Like the Vince's son stuff. And you go back to the anonymous GM thing. Whenever it was like a, who's the answer? What's the answer? Hornswoggle's still here. Let's just throw it to him kind of thing. But I was okay with that. Whenever there was a guest host for that like 2-year run of guest hosts, I always did something with them. It was the coolest thing ever. Hell of a run.
I had the pleasure of working you very early on in my career, and I got to seductively lick my fingers.
Yeah, didn't they tell you like to not put your fingers in your mouth or something?
I think I was ordered to, actually. I think they said, if you don't lick your fingers, the segment won't work. So I said, all right, I guess.
I actually remember it the exact opposite way, and you still did the licking of the fingers. I specifically remember them saying like, hey, maybe you don't seductively lick your fingers and insert them in your mouth. And then we do it and his whole hand, Itora's whole hand is inside of his mouth. And he's just slobbering all over his hand.
Just the tips, bro. Just the tips. I just got the tips.
Not to the face.
So yeah, that was pretty early. It's probably the first like 4 months of my career.
Because then you gave me the finish, right?
That's right. And I realized early on, because I think we had to walk through it in rehearsals.
Don't
I'm pretty
go
sure
there. Don't go
Arn
there.
Was there. And you, sir, are the most dense, heavy man in all of wrestling. It's like, you know, the spot, the Andre spot with Hogan on Andre. Obviously, you think back to Cesaro taking Big Show up in that very first Andre. That's that in like for workers, for wrestlers. That's like the moment when you pick up Hornswoggle, that's like you get a standing O.
Oh, in the back.
people realize, okay, you're not big like the Big Show, but workers, real workers, we know that it's a real feat.
You're strong for real.
You brought up that, and I can't, it just came to mind. That's like supporting, picking up on someone, helping them out.
Don't do
we
it.
Go to
don't
one
do
of
it.
The WrestleManias.
What?
Where it is. Team Teddy versus Team Johnny.
Oh, this is, I'm not in the story.
Oh, this is, no, you're not, no, sorry.
Good. Tell it.
Talk about the air mount.
And at this point, everyone's doing dives on everyone because it's a big mayhem match. I'm going to dive out onto Mark Henry, and to help me to the top rope are Truth and my best friend Kofi. So I can balance on the top rope. I'm going to use both their hands to balance. And then I'm going to dive onto Mark, who's going to catch me. So I'm going up to the top. I'm on the top rope. I have Truth, his hand fully. And I'm going, hey, hand. And you can hear me yelling because my friend Kofi is just letting me go. He's just letting, and I'm waiting so I can get balance so I can jump in front of 80,000 people. And I'm just going, hand. And I literally, he wasn't there. And I just go, and I jump. And you can see him on the video just go like this. Just go. But not even reaching for him. And I'm already in the air. He just goes.
I remember, like you say, here you like yelling hand. I'm like, what is he talking about? Hand? Why is he saying that? Like, why? And after you, I'm like, oh. And the funny thing about it was that like you were so nervous about it, like throughout the day. And like, we're like, no, we got you, man. We get up there, you're gonna be fully supported, bro. Truth got you on one side, I got you on the other side. How can you fall? We got you, man. And then it comes out there. I'm like, what is he yelling? That? Why is he saying hand? Why does he keep
blatantly hear it on the pay-per-view? Hand. While glaring at my friend Kofi, and nothing's there. Just jumped to my death.
You just forgot?
I guess so.
What happened?
Mark catches me in the slam. And since someone else is jumping, instead of doing anything there, like slamming me or anything, he just goes like, see ya. And just adios. Throws me to the side on the floor. And just, nope, see, I got to catch a dive.
You be all right. You be all right.
Yep.
Look at you. You're walking upright today. So all the win.
I mean, that's a...
It's all a win.
I mean, upright's one thing.
We talked about a lot of things, but there's one thing that I really want to hear about because I love hearing the story. And again, this goes back to the relationship between you, Dylan, and you, E. Again, as we would ride together from town to town, hours on the road, at night, during the day, telling stories, having a good time. Dylan likes to press buttons, and he likes to press E's buttons a good bit. And there was one specific date where that button pressing just happened to backfire. Would you please?
We were talking about our truth before and helping me at Mania. This is the truth that's going to come out. Hey, Torre, would you like to say your side, or has it been said enough?
We've already talked about it on this podcast. And my ring name is Big E. If that's easier for you, just go with that. Because my God, man. It's brutal.
I feel like we're friends. We're on a first name basis.
And learn my name, bro.
So we're on the road one weekend. I don't even remember where it is, but I won't reveal the secret because E is probably very self-conscious of it. But I would push a certain button, and he has a couple of these buttons that I would push because I would always sit behind him in the seat, and I just kept physically pushing the buttons.
They're called keloids, by the way. There's no need to like.
He doesn't want to say anything.
A keloid is just, it's a scar tissue, and you know I got keloids. That's all they are.
Like,
yes.
I mean, they look like juju bees on the back of your damn head.
They're called keloids.
So I would push them.
Grow up.
I would push them, and I would keep pushing them, and I would keep pushing them. And E didn't like this.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, who would have thought? Itori finally had enough as we were walking into the venue. I'm walking and I always had a huge backpack because I would have my electronics, my laptop, my phone stuff, a DVD, whatever. It was always my electronic backpack and it was always pretty heavy. So I'm walking with my gear bag and my backpack on, and out of nowhere, for no reason, he kicks me. Extremely hard, full force, kicks me in the backpack. I fly about 10 feet forward. I hit my face. The backpack comes up, hits me in the back of the head. Now, he just keeps walking. No, I'm sorry. No, oh man, that went a lot worse. That went a lot worse than I expected it to. No. He keeps walking. Kofi has a look in his eyes like he just saw someone get shot. Just saw a murder happen. And then he looks at E like expecting E to say something like anyone wants.
Anything.
And he just walks past me. Walks to the locker room. Kofi like comes to me because he thinks I'm dead. And I'm okay. I get up. I think I kipped up probably.
Well, backpack and luggage in hand.
Yeah, kicked up. Oh, that's another thing. I was still hanging onto my bag when I hit the ground.
I forgot.
My rolling Samsonite flew in the air with me.
It flew
in the air. That's how hard he kicked me. I couldn't have enough time to let go of my bag. So then I hit the ground. I get up. I kept up and I'm brushing myself off. And I kind of look at Kofi like, what the hell? Kofi says, I just pushed him too far today. I think today was his breaking point. And I remember thinking like, I deserved it then. Maybe not. But then comes the part that's never been revealed. That night we get to the hotel room. I open up my laptop so I can email my son to check in on my lovely son, which you don't care about. I don't care about families. But I want to check in with my lovely, adorable son. And my laptop screen is shattered. Shattered. I bring this point up to Itor. Never happened. Acting like literally he never kicked me 10 feet with my bag and my backpack hitting my skull and hitting the cement. Acting like it never happened. Itor, you still owe me for a MacBook Pro.
Look, you know, there's a saying, it's time heals all wounds. It also heals all screens, I think. So I think we're good there.
I don't think that makes no.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
It's over time. It's gonna come back together.
I'll go to the closet right now. Literally, I'll go find in the closet. It's just gonna be put back together. I'll
put
some buttons.
Put a band on it. Be fine. It'll be fine in a few weeks.
Just give it some time. Just give it some time.
It's cool. It's fine. All MacBook screens. Thank God for time.
Oh my god.
I'm glad the truth could finally come out that he flipped over really nothing and he flew off the handle. I don't know how you guys have traveled with him so long with him not flying off the handle like this. And you guys, I fear for you guys actually more than anyone in this.
Look, this was a long time ago. This is probably 6 years ago? Plus, probably 6 years ago.
It was at the start of New Day.
Yeah, so about 6 years ago. So, you know, I'm a changed man. I didn't process my emotions and feelings as well as I should have. I let it bottle up in just months and months of pestering and button pushing, you know, because I always think, why would someone want to annoy and irritate and upset their friends? You know, I don't really operate that way. So your claims also that I started things, nonsense. I'm very much not that person at all. I don't like ribbing people. That's like not my thing at all. I would just quietly take it. And instead of voicing how my displeasure with you, I just let it stew and it would bottle up. And then I would get to a point where we would have these card trips. And for a while, I told Kofi what I told him, I think, after the fact that I was like this close to saying, like, it's either him or me. I'm either going to.
I remember Kofi telling me that after, like, saying, man, I'm going to be honest with you, Spoggle. He's at his breaking point. Can't handle it anymore. Can't handle it. And I was like, I'm going to turn it up even more then. I mean,
yeah. See, to me, this is the mark of a person who is not a good human being. Why do you take pleasure in irritating people? I never understood that.
I don't think it's pleasure. I'm making fun for Austin and for Kofi. I'm letting them enjoy their day even more. Sure, if you don't want to be part of it and you want to have a negative reaction towards what I'm doing, that is on you.
That was victim blaming. What you're doing.
Victim blaming. Some say that, some say providing fun.
No, and the problem is when people look at me and they look at you, they would assume that if there's any kind of discord, that the fault would be with me, that I would be bullying you. But that was never the case. No, it's the opposite. It's the opposite. So I would say I would process things much better now. I have a much better, you know, I meditate now. I've been working on myself. I suggest maybe you could do the same as well. It might help you in your life.
What are you saying? I'm a very good human being.
Uh-huh. But I'm saying 60 years ago, I wasn't proud of that. You know, I think of some of my non-finer moments. There's a few incidents that involve probably, there's like a list of three people in my WWE career. And you're on the list. Just not my finest moments. I'm kind of flying off the handle.
Do we know the other two? Have the other two been talked about publicly?
Well, there's no need to. No, we've talked about it many times privately, but
yeah. Okay. We'll leave those at the door.
I'm sure you know.
The thing is, though, all the messing with you stopped.
Well, yes. I mean, that's also the point, too, is I feel if I eventually fly off the handle, you'll get the message, which is not, again, not the best way to handle things. And I apologize for the way I handle things.
Wow.
Big news.
This is something he has never done ever, including when you guys brought it up and asked for him to apologize. He just blew it off.
Well, in the moment, I was so angry. There was no way I was going to apologize. I think I explained this before when I told the story, but I had a plan in mind that day. I said, today is the day.
It was premeditated.
Yeah, it wasn't like spur of the moment. I said, all right. So I waited. I said, I was driving that day. So I parked the car and I made sure to linger behind. And I was making sure I had my moment. And I knew, I said, I think Kofi and Woods passed and you were last. So I took my bags out and I was like, you know, when you have like the adrenaline starts to rush because the plan is coming into place and you know what you're about to do. That's how it was. I saw you exactly where I wanted you. I had the position.
You're talking the way a serial killer talks. Right?
Somebody's rotating.
Is anyone else picking up on this? just like he's talking the way a serial killer does.
That's the amount of rage that was flowing through my body at that moment. I wasn't even myself. My cognitive skills, they just shut off. It was all rage. Rage fueled me. So I couldn't really be held for, accountable for my actions right there. I wasn't in the right state of mind.
Clean insanity.
Yes. So I lined you up. And I knew exactly what I wanted to do. As soon as as we were pulling in, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. And I had the right circumstances. There was no one in my way. I had a nice buildup. And I thought, I'm going to go for a good push kick. Not like a strike, just a good push, And that's what I did. And would I do it again? No, I would not do it again. I'm not proud of it. In fact, I'm ashamed of it, the way I handled things. But in the moment, did I enjoy it? Yes. In the moment, did I have any regrets? No.
But Itori, is this where you would say you're sorry?
I already said I'm sorry. Dylan, I'm sorry.
Wow. Oh my God.
That's huge. You know what? Congratulations.
What a moment.
God bless.
That's been a half decade plus in the making.
Think about how difficult that was for him, Dylan. He understands now. He's a changed man. Kofi and I saw you get skipped across concrete like a rock on a river.
You were dead.
It wasn't that bad.
That's sorry and get me a new MacBook Pro, but I mean, it's okay.
You're rich.
You're swimming in the dough,
There we go. Well, I accept your apology, Itor.
Do I need to get on a bended knee to ask you to stop saying my name?
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
That took a lot out of you, didn't it?
No. It's actually very healing. I'm working on healing these days. So,
I don't like meditative E. This is not. When Opie goes vegan, E meditates. I don't like this.
It's very good for me. It's very healing. It's probably not as good for, the back and forth, the banter, because me on edge probably makes for some more laughs, but so be it. So be it.
I will say Swaggle's the only person who I've seen you consistently hang out with who does this to you.
Well, because I think after a while, most people realize, I'm not the kind of person you rib me and I'll rib you and we'll keep irritated. That's just not my personality. And then most people read.
I just keep going.
Most people read cues because I don't have a great poker face. You can see I'm not enjoying it. So most people will say, I want to be considerate of this person's feelings.
Not Dylan. He's going too far. You mean he's really getting emotionally affected by this, on a serious level? I got him right where I want him.
Hell yeah. Like a shark to blood in the water.
He's plotting a plan like a serial killer. Ooh, this is good. This is good. Keep going.
It made me feel really good in the moment. I wouldn't do it again. I'm sorry.
He opens his gear bag. There's a diagram drawn up of everything, of the kick in the parking lot.
I'm plotting.
See, Swaggle, we've had some real good times with you. And
yes,
some of my favorites are when we are overseas and without explaining how we've gotten there, without explaining that part, some fun times of helping you get back to your room from time to time have occurred.
You've been involved in one of these?
Of course. Quite a few.
He hasn't.
No,
I was once in Europe. You were so delicately
tired.
Yes. Good. That's right. Good. You were so fatigued.
Those travel days, those overseas travel days, they just
a lot out of you. Right. Yeah. Anyways, you had too much fatigue. You consumed too much fatigue. But I remember one time, John Marks, God bless him. We need to have John Marks on the podcast.
Oh, yes. Man.
Oh, yes. Yes. I love him. Mark still texts me from time to time. But anyways, he's a security guard or was a security guard.
He wasn't on before me.
Stop it. But anyways, I remember one time Marks had to put you on a luggage cart to take you up to your room. Luke Harper, my boy, and Marks helped take you up to the room. And I think I didn't want to help. I just wanted to watch. I was real bored. I think I just went up in the elevator.
I'm the bad human here.
Look, you should have consumed all that fatigue.
You got to get your rest.
Well, one of the reasons that you had to get put on that luggage cart is because you thought it would be a good idea to swing a used toilet wand from a public restroom.
I forget
Harper.
Is that when he hit me?
Well, I had to stop him from hitting you. And he looked at me and said, am I messing up right now? I said, yep, not worth it. Not worth it. then I looked back at you and you were motionless. That was like your last bit of energy before you were fully fatigued. And then the luggage cart came into play.
I have been on more luggage carts than rental cars at this point. I'm like, this, yeah, it's there's been a few of those sleepy nights. It's what brings the camaraderie, guys. That's what I mean. Friends supporting each other. That's what it matters.
Wasn't there another time after a barcade?
Barcade. I think it was. Was it Columbus?
Or was maybe an up down?
Kofi, we had a good Kofi. I feel like we had a good run of barcades for a while, but I don't.
Fatigued again, you were.
Yeah.
I feel like I fell asleep while playing.
No,
narcolepsy, maybe that's your problem.
Yes, that's what we'll call it.
Yeah, we were there to play video games. You were there to get tired. And so you got real sleepy, you know? So then we had to leave.
I am fully stealing that. I am taking that. I'm gonna get so tired tonight.
It was after we played track and field. You wanted to play track and field so bad.
There's one here now that has it. And I love it. That's my favorite game to play.
I remember you were so excited, but then you played track and field so much. You were already tired beforehand. Then you were very sleepy and almost fell down the three stairs that it took to get out of the place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we had to help you get into the backseat of the car.
Yep.
And when we finally got to the hotel, you were then in the floorboards of the car.
Wedged in between.
But you guys didn't buckle me in?
I'm pretty sure we did. And you weaseled your way out of it. Sleepy Dylan.
Sleepy but then Dylan.
Back to what he was saying, you being very heavy. It was very difficult for Kofi and I to get such a sleepy Dylan off of the floor of this car.
It wasn't fair because we already worked out that day. You know, we already had
our workout. You said this to me the next morning. I remember you saying this to me the next morning. You say, how dare you put us through another workout? And I'm like, I didn't do this on purpose.
You know how sleepy I get.
Yeah. You know how sleepy. This is not my fault. You shouldn't have worked out that morning. You know this is going to happen. You know it by now. Common thing here.
Did you have to work out with one William Regal?
Tell us about that.
Yeah, please.
Tell us about those mandatory sessions.
Yeah, why you turned your face?
Tell the people.
Look in the inside
this
of your mouth.
During, hey, guys, I'm still on this interview.
Tell them, Dad.
Yeah. Dad.
Thanks. He has this little friend over here, little that friend. I just can't do it.
Come on, man.
You're going to listen to this.
Come on.
You're going to listen to this.
You're going
to
bite his nails. It's so real. It's so real.
So this is when I was told to lose weight. And I was told I was really, really fat. And I was. Cena was putting me on workout. He had his trainer write me up a weekly workout that I still use.
Rob McIntyre?
Is that the one testing our body fat that one day? You were there that day.
Yeah.
The with the pincher?
I'm sure it's Rob. Right.
Probably, yes. Yeah. You were like 100.
What? Was that?
Jeez, these calipers.
They're using big-ass tongs. It's not a pincher. It's a big-ass fucking tongs.
Like, but I can't get these calipers to close it all.
Come on, man. Liz, you're the only one. You're my only guy in this group.
Was in his father chair, legit.
The you guys. Like,
come on, man.
Oh my god, I'm sweating so much. I can't believe this is.
Oh man.
It's too much. We had a lot of catching up to do. You should have expected this, Dylan. You know, it's been a while since we've had one of these sit downs, and
I really missed
to get this all out.
I really
get
it all
out. Okay, so Regal, okay. Yes.
So, I'm doing the Cena workouts, which were like crazy, crazy workouts too. But then at TV days, Regal would like put me through another workout, which was essentially him just like making me squat and do push-ups and like weird things, like calisthenics, very odd workouts.
What's so odd about calisthenics? What's weird about that?
I don't do them.
That's what makes it weird.
Yeah. Tell me to lift something. I'll lift it. It's normal.
Yeah.
No, big guys, calisthenics. I don't do that stuff. I don't know what that is. So I remember at one point, like there would be, we would always like find like a random closet that we thought no one would go into, but everyone went into, and like I'd just be like doing squats or doing push-ups shirtless, which was very weird. I don't know.
Did you make you go shirtless?
Yeah. Did you show up shirtless?
I would be shirtless. and then like a Kofi would come in, or like this other guy would come in. And then if Regal wasn't there, Daniel Bryan had to run the workouts for him. It was just a very weird thing. Looking back, I don't know why I did it. Why? Why wouldn't I just say no?
Who came and told you to do this?
He did.
He's trying to help you.
He's trying to help you out.
Yeah. Did it work? Did you lose weight?
I don't think doing hundreds of squats with Regal was the reason I lost the weight.
But did you lose the weight?
Yes. All right. I quit getting tired for a while. I wasn't as fatigued in those days.
You got all that energy. You got all that energy.
A lot of energy. Woke up real early, crack of dawn, and went to bed early, too. Went to bed real early. Got a lot of sleep.
Change your life.
There you go.
Sounds like awful times. But yeah, I completely forgot about that. You know, the thing that Kofi, were you there for the chicken incident? You were, right?
Oh, I don't know why you would assume that.
Yeah.
You guys don't know?
You weren't on that tour, were you?
This doesn't sound familiar.
No, I was not.
I've seen the footage multiple times.
Yeah. What?
Like Rocky, you were chasing a chicken?
Oh. Explain.
Yeah.
Other way around. Kofi, I'm almost positive you were there on this one.
Maybe. Oh.
But so Scott Acock, the security guard, he finds out that I don't like chickens. Very common fear. It's okay. They're unpredictable. They slash you. I look them in the eye so they can jump and slash my face a lot easier than a normal person. Many normies. It's not good. So we're at a house show. In the ring above me is Drew McIntyre versus Chris Masters. I'm changing because I would just go under before the crowd came in, and I'm changing into my gear. So I'm shirtless. I have my gear pants on. But now I see part of the apron open, like flap open. I go, oh, that's weird. Whatever. And now I see a camera on this side of the apron under it. And I go, why? What are you doing? And now I turn and there is a chicken underneath. A full grown rooster underneath the ring. And it's pissed. It tries to go out and they push it back under. It tries to go this side and they push it back under.
What happened next?
So finally, it's getting closer and they realize how angry I was. Finally, they take it out and they run it to the back. And that was Scott Acock's, that was his revenge on me, to put this live animal that could have ended my life underneath the ring with me. That's too far. Just like this, just like this incident with you, Ettore, he went too far.
I have a question, though. So as E was alluding to earlier, so it sounds like you have a lot of stories where people have done something extreme to get back at you because you've pushed them to a certain limit. So do you think the problem is with each of these people? Or do you think that the problem is elsewhere?
Austin, I don't see the problem in trying to bring entertainment and jovial goodwill to the locker room.
That's not how to do it. That's not the way you do it.
Just buy confetti cannons and just shoot those? That's not, I mean, that gets old after a while.
those are your only two means of energy.
Confetti cannons, we're messing with people.
That's not what we're comedian, aren't you?
I'm a comedian, you know?
I don't see the issue. It seems like it's the other people that
I would say the Usos bring a lot of entertainment to the locker room. They never demean people. They don't do that. You can learn a thing or two. There's a lot of different ways. You know,
apples and oranges. Apples and oranges. There. Apples and oranges.
Why can't fruit be compared?
Huh?
Why can't fruit be compared?
They're just different fruit.
These consequences. You know that could have been real bad for you. You didn't learn a lesson though after that, did you?
No, I called him. I said, it really pissed me off. It really made me mad. And it made me really angry that there was more naked pictures of me out there. And this time trying to fight a chicken. Like you don't have proud moments. That wasn't one of my proudest moments there.
I know we get a lot of jokes, you know, and good time and shenanigans with the, you know, but I did want to, you know, before we run out of time, allow you to talk about, you know, we touched on it earlier, but life is short and so am I. you know, the book that you wrote, an autobiography. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I'm so grateful that you included me in the process from the point in which you were writing it, you know, to be able to read it before everybody else. And you had me write the foreword for it, one of them, myself and Hawkins. So I don't know if you wanted to talk about that, man. The serious side.
Yeah, life is short, and so am I. You can get it on Amazon, or you can get a signed copy by reaching out to bookhornswoggle@gmail.com. Either way, it was a project that I never thought I would kind of do, but always wanted to. And we did it. It was 3 years in the making, two writers, and just a lot of work went into it. And a lot of weird memories got brought up, positive and negative. I got to there's a lot of stuff with me and my mom, my real mom, that I got to kind of vent about, and just, it was very healing almost in a weird way that I finally got to tell stories in there and just kind of let them free and let them go. But then I was like, the publishing company was asking me, hey, who do you want to do the foreword? Would a Jericho or a Cena or that kind of thing do it? And from the start, I said, no, I want Kofi and Hawkins to do it. And they were like, well, I mean, that would be great. Could we get a third? And I was like, no, I want my friends to do it. And it was very, very important to me. And then they were like, okay, great. And I said, I don't want to see it. And I don't know why. Thinking back on it now, I don't know why, but it was very important to me that I never saw the forwards until it came out. Every time they would email me a draft of it, it included them. And I started to get hot about it. Like, hey, just, I'm sick of scrolling through this. Just send them to me without it. And it came out. And I remember the day it got released. When I asked you and Brian, both, you guys immediately said yes. And that meant a lot to me. And so the book release happened. And I remember grabbing a copy for the first time and reading the forewords. And I texted both you and Brian. And I said, Ed's got me again. And I was like, I was bawling. Now I was like happily bawling, because it was like such positive things, but yet in our way of tearing me down at the same time, but still building me up. And it was just one of those really neat things that I'm very, very thankful for you guys to do. And I'm thankful for the project in general. And it's like I say, it was a very moving thing for me and kind of opening and healing in a weird way thing for me to do. I got to get a lot of stories out there and a lot of my past and real life Dylan stuff that people wouldn't know. Yeah. Check it out if you get a chance. E, have you read it yet?
One, I don't know why you decided to single me out. Two, you know I'm very frugal, so unless you're sending me a copy, it ain't happening. And three, hell
so you
no.
Don't wanna, hold on. So you don't want to support my child?
Look, I told you, you got plenty of money. Don't put this on me. Don't keep. And I've been letting the whole family stuff go. It's okay when I make the jokes. But how dare you make jokes about me being anti-family?
I am. I mean, you are. You that's say all the time, all. I don't have a family. I don't like families. That's how I hear the podcast.
It's just a joke. That's it's just a joke, man. It's a joke.
I mean, I'll say, you know what, E? I'll send you one. I'll send you a copy. Very you kind can of you. Read it. You can read it top to bottom and send me a report on it. That would be nice of you. I'd appreciate that.
There you go.
Hey, Dylan. Have you locked in anybody to do the audiobook version?
I did it.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. That's great. Because that was their biggest thing is I want you to do it, or they wanted me to do it. And I was like, oh, this is weird. It was very odd to me telling. I don't like the sound of my own voice. I'm very weird about that because I hear a lisp all the time. And it's a very weird thing. But and then having to reread the stuff about my grandfather and about my mom, and then I chose to do the forewords last because it was I don't know. It was weirdly emotional for me, but yeah, they had me do it. E would have been my, probably my third choice. Everyone else would have been tied for second.
this is case in point. I say nice things about you. We brought you on this podcast.
Everyone else.
What did I do? You know what I'm saying? What did I do?
See? What you didn't do.
You see? The people see it now.
Woods, I also have to thank you. I had an event, a big event in, I don't even remember what city it was. What mania was that you came out to see me?
So this was the mania that Kofi was going to fight for the title.
Yeah.
So So last year.
The last year, 2019.
Yep. 2019.
So we ended up going to that party at the place of the big thing with like Wale and stuff and on stage and yeah, everybody's so hype. And I was there and I was so excited to be there. But at the same time, I was like, I also need to leave immediately because Swoggle is wrestling Scott Steiner.
And he just kept texting me like, have you went on yet? Have you went on yet? I went, no, not yet. And I didn't believe he was coming. And then, yeah, he ended up, you know, you just missed it, right?
Just missed it. Yeah. So upset.
Literally by seconds.
I'll send Dan and them the picture, but there's a picture of us after the show outside shirtless flexing.
At that point, I was real tired. I just wrestled Scott Steiner. I got real tired after that match. Real tired. A lot of cinnamon flavored tired during that. Just a lot.
In small doses, though. We had them in small doses. We got tired in small doses.
Yeah, but they added up with my small body.
Well, that's kind of the cap of everything. So, like, you've had this incredible career, and you're still making these incredible moments happen, not only for yourself, but everybody around you who you've been able to touch. So obviously you've got your ups and downs with E and everybody else that you like to poke, but deep down, like that's your style of friendship. And I feel like it really shows, especially when we get to sit down and have like real conversations like this. So for that, that's one of the reasons that I know that these two very much appreciate you, man.
Guys, I give you guys a lot of crap for, you know, not having me on yet. E, I give you constant crap. That is just me. I am so happy for you guys. I remember riding in the car with you guys and you just wanted a shot and you just kept and were told no, and no, this isn't going to work. And I was so frustrated for you guys because you guys were getting so frustrated yourselves and so just upset at everything. I am so happy of how awesome you guys are doing. You guys put more smiles on faces than you know, and I'm sure it's told to you guys constantly. My son adores you guys. Kofi, that you've been told it, that moment you had at Mania is the best moment in WrestleMania history, top to bar none. And the three of you deserve all of this, and I'm so happy. The stupid things you guys do and get to do and get to pull off that I know is just your crazy minds thinking of these things and them finally just throwing their hands in the air because everything's working. I'm so proud of you guys. I really, truly am. And you guys make me in a weird way even more happy and even more like wanting to keep doing what I'm doing because you guys are having fun. So I want to keep having fun on my level. And it's, I'm proud of you guys. I really am. And you guys hear it all the time, but truly you guys are the most special thing to happen in professional wrestling in a long, long time. I truly mean that. I really do.
Appreciate you, man.
Oh.
Now that we're all going to cry. This is a wide range of emotions.
Yeah, this is, yeah. But for real, you guys, now you guys are branching out to everything. Everything. And you have your hands in every cookie jar. Between the video, this stuff and the video game stuff, Woods, that's, I mean, I love our weekly conversations about Uno and about stupid random things on up, up, down, down. And it's just awesome. Keep it up and keep doing it all like you will. And we know you will, even though you're getting older. You guys are alpha, I mean, especially E and Kofi.
Woods is like young. 6 months younger than me.
6 months what? 6 months what?
Younger?
Yeah, it's all the same. A year younger.
Younger, you. Older. We're all the same. We're all the same. We talked about this, y'all. Mm. All of us. All of us.
No. No.
All of us.
I'm like you guys?
No, not you.
Three of us.
If you come to WrestleMania, you could have been considered, but you know, you big leagued us, so
yeah. You get the Tupperware.
I thought I was going to be the brother in again. Well, to be included.
And with that, Swoggle, where can they find you on the internet to keep up with you?
Because they haven't taken it away, thank God, and hopefully they don't yet. At WWE Hornswoggle on Twitter, on Instagram, you can check out my local company, ACW Wisconsin, out of Wisconsin. Yeah, that's about it.
Yo, make sure you check out his book. Make sure you're following him on all his socials to keep up with our good friend and button pusher extraordinaire, Dylan Fossil.
Mm.
You can catch me on Twitter and Instagram at Xavier Woods PhD. Catch me on YouTube, Up Up Down Down is a channel. And this Up Up Down Down merch, UUDDshop.com for all your Up Up Down Down apparel needs.
You can catch me at The True Kofi on the Instagram and at True Kofi on Twitter. And we got to have Swoggle on here again because we did not get into the origins of Doo-Doo Dylan. For everything that we talked about, we didn't get into the origin story of Doo-Doo Dylan. So you have a ticket back here to come back and discuss. I mean, if even if only that, you know, I don't know what else is going on in your life. Maybe that won't matter. But if we just need to have you back on to discuss the origin story of Doo-Doo Dylan.
I'm sure like Brooklyn Brawler and like Harvey Whippleman and then will have to come first.
Come on, man.
And then me again. I mean, just like this time.
I'm telling you, we really need to have this potty talk, either segment or I'm 100%. We have so much bathroom content on this show, just naturally, yeah. without even trying.
Yeah. I love it. It makes me happy.
I'm into it as well.
I know the words. Like I agree fully with Itori because on this.
Sean, I need you to cut that. Cut all these out because it's pissing me off. Every butcher in my name, cut it out.
This is the one thing I really truly agree. I really truly agree with him on is a lot of the potty talk.
There's something
it's
there.
Very serious.
And I think we need to proceed. Anyways, I'm at WWE Big E on Twitter and on Instagram. Also, make sure to catch Laser Wolf. It's on HBO Max. Season 1 is on HBO Max. And season 2 is coming to Adult Swim very, very soon. I think sometime in the fall. And it's a very funny show. I enjoy it. And I get to cuss on the show. It's beautiful. Also, make sure to catch our New Day podcast shirt on WWE Shop. Also, we have the New Day charity t-shirt. The proceeds go to the NAACP LDF. That's Legal Defense Fund. And that's the link is on my Twitter. It's my pinned tweet. And it's also my Instagram bio.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode. Remember to let your friends know how much fun you had listening. Tell them in order to listen to the podcast, just check out wherever they listen to their podcast. Hit that search bar. Type in The New Day. Click the pink picture with the three black guys' faces on it. Or if that's too much, go to Google. Type in New Day Podcast. It'll be somewhere there on the first page. And if you're on Apple, make sure that you're giving us that what review, E?
5 stars. Because it was a gimmick guy in NXT, and it was real cool. And Woods hates it when I talk about it. You know, God forbid he supported me when I was trying to get over and support myself because I don't have a family, as Dylan liked to mention a bunch of times. But I still got to eat, you know. I got to, you know, that's it.
Did I not just throw it to you so you can get yourself over with it?
You did. Thank you, sir.
That's how I heard exactly. It. I heard Woods fully supporting you.
Wow. That's enough of you.
Oh my God. We tried to close this 30 minutes ago.
We're struggling here. We're really struggling.
So make sure you're checking out the pod next week. Use the hashtag New Day Pod to stay in the conversation and keep a close eye on all of our socials so you can understand and know when we are doing our spinoff podcast, New Day Potty Talk.
Potty Talk is coming.
Potty Talk, baby.
The Potty Cast.
Ooh, that's good. Dylan will be our first guest, and we'll make sure to explain Dylan there.
That's right. We'll flush it all out.